Hi, my name is Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and this is the second of two International Financial Reporting Standards updates that I've recorded in September 2011. The first update dealt with the standards that came out, four standards that is, that came out in May of this year, IFRS's 10, 11, 12 and 13, which dealt with groups, the first three, and the fourth one, IFRS 13, dealt with fair values. Those are standards that are already in issue, and you might like to go and listen to that podcast if you haven't already done so. This update deals with a number of different standards, two of which are still at the exposure draft stage, their proposals, and what the International Accounting Standards Board have done is they have reissue their proposals in these two areas, and they are the areas of revenue recognition and leasing. And those are two of the most important standards that have been introduced, if they ever do get introduced, that is, over the last couple of decades. There is also an update to International Accounting Standard number 19 on employee benefits, and that deals specifically with pensions, and that standard is now in issue. And finally, there is a change to the timing of the recently issued International Financial Reporting Standard number 9 on financial instruments. So we're going to deal with those now. Let's have a look, first of all, at revenue recognition. With revenue recognition, what the International Accounting Standards Board are doing is they are re-exposing the exposure draft. So the exposure draft has been an issue for a year now, and there have been some discussions and debates relating to the peripheral areas of the standard, and they have decided that in the interests of clarity and openness, they want to re-expose the exposure draft to make sure it gets as wide an audience as possible, having seen it. Then they'll take people's comments, and what it does mean in practical terms is that there won't be a standard until 2012. What they've done is they've set themselves a target date of September 2012 for the issuing of a standard. And it's thought that the standard itself will not have full application probably until 2015. I know that seems like a long time away, but these things, when they do come into being, usually can be adopted early. So it may very well start having an impact from 2013 onwards. We'll just have to see whether it actually becomes a standard. It is quite a groundbreaking standard, is the revenue recognition one. It does suggest that in some industries, for example, in the construction sector where we're doing long-term contracts, that there could be significant changes to the pattern of revenue recognition over the life of a contract. There's also been significant concerns expressed from the telecoms industry about the impact it's going to have on their business. So that's the reason that they're taking some time with this. There should have been a standard this year, but it now won't be until at least, well, September 2012 is the target date. Okay, so that's revenue recognition. The other exposure draft that the International Accounting Standards Board are re-releasing is on leasing. Now, this is a very, very controversial area. When I started in training over 20 years ago, I think they were looking at revamping the rules on leasing then, and there have been various attempts over the years, both in the UK and internationally, to revamp the rules. And basically, all they're wanting to do here is to get more companies to recognise leased assets as assets and liabilities on the balance sheet. That's the impact of the rules. And just to remind you, the proposals are basically that leased assets will be recognised on the balance sheet, even for short leases. So the idea of having operating leases and finance leases is gone. All leases will be recognised on the balance sheets as assets and liabilities. And in the profit and loss account, or income statement, as I should call it, there will be a depreciation charge and an interest charge as well. The only exception to that will be for leases of less than 12 months. Now, the reason that they're wanting to reissue the exposure draft on leasing is to cover four key areas where the thinking has changed slightly. And those four key areas are in lessor accounting, in the presentation disclosures to go along with the leasing, on the area of embedded derivatives and on the area of variable lease payments. Now, I'm going to have a look specifically at lessor accounting in a moment. The other three areas on presentation, they're basically looking at trying to make sure we get adequate presentation, but to ensure on a practical level that this isn't too expensive. On the area of embedded derivatives, that ties in with the financial instrument standards, where there may be some embedded derivatives in leases that companies take out, and those will have to be disclosed in their financial statements. And finally, on variable lease payments, they're looking at how to account for lease payments where the payments are going to change over the period of the lease. So perhaps where the payments are going to go up with respect to the consumer price index. They're looking at how we should account for that. I'll deal with lessor accounting in a little bit more detail in a moment, but just to say that the new exposure draft is expected in quarter four this year, so before Christmas, and the new standard will therefore not be issued until well into 2012 at the earliest, so perhaps waiting till quarter three, quarter four, 2012. Okay, just a quick example on lessors. Lessor accounting affects very few businesses, of course, because most businesses are lessees. They're the businesses that are using the assets. But just to tell you what lessors are going to be doing, just give you a simple example. What will be happening with a lessor company, particularly where we have these leases where the asset is only being leased for a short period of its full life, is the following. First of all, the lessor will be able to recognise any profit on the lease straight away in its books, as long as that profit on the lease agreement is reasonably assured. So I suppose if it's a lease to an existing client or a lease to a good quality client where they're pretty sure that the lease will be completed, then they will be able to take the profit straight away. So let's say, for example, we had an asset worth £1,000, and let's say 60% of its value is being leased. Obviously, after that lease, presumably the asset will then be leased to another lessee. So 60% of its value is being leased. And let's also say the fair value of the asset is £1,200. So the asset has a value to the lessor of £1,000, and its fair value is £1,200. So what will happen is that, first of all, 40% of the value of the asset will stay in the lessor's books. So that's 40% of the £1,000, £400, will stay in the lessor's books. What will also happen is that the lessor will recognise a profit, or an income, I should say, on the asset. And that income will be recognised at 60% of the fair value of the asset. So they'll recognise it at 60% of £1,200, which would be £720. So what the lessor would be recognising would be a profit of £120. And that £120 is calculated by taking 60% of the asset's book value, £1,000, so that's £600. And comparing that to 60% of its fair value, which is 60% of £1,200, which is £720. The difference between the two is £120. So the lessor would be able to recognise that and treat this transaction as a sale at £720, recognise a cost against that of £600, let go of 60% of the asset's value, and it would recognise a profit at the date of the lease of £720. Seems like a fairly straightforward way of the lessor accounting for this asset. Next thing I want to talk about is pensions. The International Accounting Standard number 19 on employee benefits has been updated, and the key changes cover pensions. This standard is now in issue, and companies can adopt it if they wish. So let's just have a look at the existing rules on pensions. At the moment, all of the operating costs relating to the pension go through as operating expenses, and that includes the current service cost of the pension. It includes the return on the plan assets. That's what the pension fund is going to earn from the investments it's got. It includes the interest on the plan liabilities. So that's the interest on the liabilities of the scheme. The liabilities of the scheme are basically the liabilities to pay pensions to the pensioners. And lastly, it includes any past service costs. So where, for example, the pension fund has decided to increase its benefits payable to members, the cost of doing that will be charged through as an operating expense. Also at present, any actuarial gains and losses Well, there are three treatments for actuarial gains and losses, including taking it through the profit and loss account over a period of time, called the corridor method, taking it straight to the profit and loss account, or taking it as part of other comprehensive income, in other words, taking it through reserves. So there are currently three choices for what to do with actuarial gains and losses. And that's going to change. The proposal is that only current service costs and past service costs actually go through as operating expenses. And the return on plan assets and interest on plan liabilities goes through as an interest expense. And that's what the standard has now changed to. That actually is the same as we've had for a number of years in our UK standard FRS 17. With actuarial gains and losses, actuarial gains and losses will only have one treatment, and that is that they will go through as part of other comprehensive income. Okay, so that's the key bit of the proposal. There is then another aspect to this, and that is that under the old rules, the return on the plan assets was a percentage figure calculated by the actuary and given to the company, and what the company would do. Let's say the actuary said the return was going to be 10%, is the company would take that 10% return on the assets and spread it throughout the year and take that as an item in its profit and loss account, its income statement. And the interest on the liabilities would likewise be a figure calculated by the actuary, given to the company, and the company would then charge that interest over the year through its profit and loss account, its income statement. Now, what tended to happen was that the amount earned, the percentage earned on the plan assets and the percentage charged on the plan liabilities would be different percentages, and the percentage on the plan assets would normally be a lot higher than the percentage on the liabilities. So what would happen is the business would get a lift in its profit and loss account because the interest on the assets would be greater than the interest charged on the liabilities. The proposal is that the same rate should be charged on both the assets and the liabilities, and that should usually be the high quality bond rate. Okay, so the impact of that would mean overall for most businesses that their level of return on plan assets would fall significantly. And at the end of the day, what that would mean is there'd be less profit in their profit and loss accounts. And finally, on financial instruments, a new International Financial Reporting Standard number 9 has been in issue for a while now. And initially, it was going to be mandatory for periods beginning on or after the 1st of January 2013. This standard covers the recognition and measurement of financial instruments. Financial instruments, remember, can mean anything. Even stuff like basic trade creditors and debtors are financial instruments. So this is a standard that applies to all businesses. Now, when IFRS 9 was published, it was part of a three-part revamp of the financial instrument standards. The other two bits on impairments, valuation and hedging were going to be issued later, and those updates were supposed to happen this year. And basically, they haven't happened. The only extra thing that's happened with respect to financial instruments is that there's been a standard issued on fair value, which is the universal standard referred to in my first IFRS update, which is the standard that tells you how to compute fair value whenever you're using the fair value idea. So that's been issued, but the bits on impairment and hedging haven't. And that means that what they've now said with IFRS 9, the bit that is in issue, the bit on recognition and measurement, that won't be mandatory until periods beginning on or after the 1st of January 2015. So that's been pushed back 2 years. Now, of course, like all new standards, there is usually an option to early adopt the standard, and that's the case here. So some companies could be using that financial instrument standard already, and some could just decide to wait until periods beginning on or after the 1st of January 2015. So that's just basically been delayed. Okay, well, that's really all I wanted to say for this update. This update's just given you an idea of, first of all, a couple of changes to existing standards, and also told you about the changes to the two very, very important exposure drafts on leasing and revenue recognition. So basically, the overall output of this is that there have been delays. There have been delays on IFRS 9, there have been delays on the leasing standard, the proposed leasing standard, and the proposed revenue recognition standard. And the one thing that has come in and is now operational are the updates on the rules on pensions. My name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training. Thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.